Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And for the next 90 minutes, we'll be taking your calls live on whatever you would like to talk about in the Star Wars universe. We'll also have a guest, Jamie Stangroom, will be joining us pretty soon to talk about his documentary project, The Empire Strikes Door. And we're just waiting for him to pop in. I'll send him a direct message now. Where you at? That's how the kids talk on Twitter, you guys. Big shout out to everyone that's chilling in the chat room. We are doing a special UK-friendly time. I will get through a bit of office work. I appeared this week on a really fun Star Wars podcast called Star Wars Geek Girl, which is with Zoe and Lizzie, two Sabine-loving cosplayers. And if you're trying to connect a Star Wars podcast family tree, Lizzie is Sal Perelis' daughter, who appears with us on Making Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting. So that was a really fun chat, a total different look at Star Wars fandom from the often grumpy men you are forced to hear on Star Wars podcasts continually. A lot more giggling in this one. And I'll also be on tomorrow's YouTube show of Black Series Rebels, which was super fun chatting Star Wars with those guys. That's a great show. The first two episodes are up. So if you are a YouTube viewer, go click on Black Series Rebels. Click your little subscribe. And while you're at it, click subscribe on the Steel Wars YouTube channel, because there is some exciting things happening there in the next couple of weeks. And in the meantime, you can watch my interviews with Kathleen Kennedy and all the gang from The Last Jedi, Daisy Ridley and all the crew. Also, something that I have neglected for our Patreon users is for our immeasurable supporters, you get a shout out every month on the show. So I'm going to do those. Rebecca Edwards, who's a great supporter of the show from Perth, Australia, she has chosen her shout out for the month. Get ready for this, you guys. Get your Kleenex out or your wife brand of choice, or it can be a no-name brand. I'm here for communists and capitalists alike. But she would like her shout out for the month to go out to Emily Lind for being such an awesome Star Wars fan and for her love of Australian podcasts in general. She shows us all how to be a really cool fan. Keep up the great work, Emily. So that's really cool. Using a plug for that, shout out to Emily, who's in the chat room right now. And Jordan O'Mara, he would like to give his shout out to his friend's podcast called Console Yourself. And if you didn't pick up on that plug, it's a video game podcast going in depth on a different game each month. So who knows? I'm sure if you go there this month, there's probably a bit of Star Wars talk with everyone going crazy over Battlefront 2. And our next plug is for Eric Struthers, who edits the show. And if he would like you to know that if you're looking for a really screen-accurate Rey or Luke lightsaber, or any that he can find the hilt for, Eric builds them. So if you're interested in a great fan-built lightsaber, you can hit him up on Twitter or Facebook at Eric Struthers. Now, let's see if we can get Jamie on the show. Jamie, are you there? Jamie, you can Skype in. I'm just answering his questions on the DMs. And anyone that wants to call can Skype in. If you go to 646-668-8360, and if you're on Skype and you are international, you want to change it to your calling to America, which adds the +1. So I'll be doing that. If you want some entertainment apart from this podcast, I would check my Twitter feed this morning, because some anti-Disney Twitter campaigner was having a cry at me and some other people about the Disney-owned Star Wars films, the evil Disney Corporation. Now, I would say that if you are so angry at these Star Wars Disney films, just stop watching them. Go find something else. Go watch the old movies. I think campaigning against them, resisting Disney, is an amazing waste of your time and energy, because you ain't stopping nothing. And using terms like resist, let's be honest, it is an insult to people around the world that are resisting things that are actually real and is worthwhile. So don't embarrass us normal Star Wars fans with such blither. Please, please don't. I'm going to try someone that's on Skype. Skype, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you. Who we got here? Is this Ross?
This is Ross.
Ross, what's going on in the world of Star Wars for you, buddy?
Hey, man, this seems to be a common thing with the UK. Like the only other time I've called in was with details, and the same thing happened there. So I think it is the UK, according to the UK.
I don't say that, man, but we'll get there. What's your Star Wars week been like?
It's been pretty good. Just listening to a few of your shows, a few of your other podcast episodes, and a few other podcasts. Just been trying to keep up with some of the news. It's been slow, but mainly I've just been thinking a lot about how to make one of your Max Rebo beanbags.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with that Max Rebo beanbag. Was it you that photoshopped it?
Yeah, I did a little Photoshop. I had a slow day at work, so I thought it would be quite fun to put together. I mean, they can't be too hard to make, right? You just get a blue bean bag and stick some other bits on the side for the ears and a bit for the nose and googly eyes. So that might be a little project to start, maybe.
If you've got talent, it might not be that hard, but that is something I do not possess in the stitching department. So if you can show me how easy it is by making it and then sending it to me, you'll really prove a point.
Maybe just do like a YouTube craft show.
Yeah, but I would end up like stitching myself to the laptop or something. I can't do it. This is for someone else. I'm the talker, not the stitcher. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I'll see whether I can get around to do that. I think I have a sewing machine somewhere. Like when I went to the secret cinema thing a couple of years ago, The Empire Strikes Back, I borrowed a friend's sewing machine so that I could put together a costume, because I don't do any kind of cosplay or anything, so I wanted to put together a costume. So I think I still have the friend's sewing machine here, or maybe I gave it back, I'm not sure, but I can have a look.
Wow, talking about crafty, borrowing someone's sewing machine, then just probably not giving it back. What a long con you're running there.
but yeah,
it,
no.
it has, It has been a bit of a slow news week. The two things that sort of stuck out to me was, this is just like a non-thing, Empire magazine named Empire Strikes Back the second greatest film of all time, which I see people complaining about. It's a listener vote or a reader vote, and who cares?
I think those polls come out like all the time. Like number one was The Godfather, and number two was Empire Strikes Back, and I think I'm not sure what else was in there. Pulp Fiction, and it's just like it's the same movies, and obviously they're good movies, but there's no reason to have these polls all the time because they're always the same.
I think the reason is this: what's happening now that we're now talking about Empire magazine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, the list, it's just for internet to debate and stuff, but I just saw some people getting upset about it. Star Wars came in at number 9, and I think Jaws was in the top 10, I think Raiders, Pulp Fiction,
yeah.
Godfather at number 1, and I don't know, they're all good films. It's just one film's at the top of the list, another one isn't. Doesn't change the film.
No.
But some interesting news coming out of this week was Colin Trevorrow's Book of Henry just getting panned by reviewers. Actually, while I was on Empire magazine, I did check, and I think they gave it 3 stars. They didn't seem to mind it, but
3 stars isn't too bad. I mean, that was like, I was originally going to have a question that I thought of this morning just from seeing all the stuff online about the potential possibilities of Edgar Wright doing a movie or something Star Wars related. Or there was some comments about the Patty Jenkins, like the Wonder Woman's apparently doing really well. I've not seen it yet, but it's been doing really well. So I think My question originally was going to be about sort of directors and favorite directors to be, you know, do a Star Wars movie. But I think the only Colin Trevorrow film I've seen maybe might be Jurassic World. And I think with those kind of franchise things, and I guess with Star Wars as well, you've got a sort of a bit of a small window of scope of experimentation, I guess, or they're so going to be so confined by Disney and Lucasfilm that I think Colin Trevorrow's Star Wars film won't be bad. It will be good. It will probably be as good as any of the other Star Wars like recent films. Like it'll probably be as good as The Force Awakens, just because, I don't know, it just seems, after hearing everything which happened with Gareth Edwards, it just seems that a lot of the reins are taken away from the director, and they're basically told, okay, this is the movie to make, and it has to be within these parameters, and they're checked over and over edited. So with all the whole concern with his new movie Book of Henry getting like 26% on Rotten Tomatoes, I don't think that's gonna be a good way to judge what his Star Wars movie is going to be like, because Disney and Lucasfilm won't allow there to be a Star Wars movie that's going to get 26% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I, to be honest, I haven't gone to watch Safety Not Guaranteed yet. I've got to get around to that. But Jurassic World, like, it had great action scenes and stuff, but the logic in it was disastrous. Like, they're just the logic of 20 years ago on that island, there was dinosaurs escaped and killed everyone. And then they build the exact same theme park on that island and don't seem that prepared for the event of dinosaurs getting out and killing everyone. And also the actors didn't seem to react. Like, the acting, like, the reactions to dinosaurs compared from Jurassic Park to Jurassic World is just a world apart. Like, you know, like, the kids in Jurassic Park, like, their terror of the dinosaurs was spot on. And I remember that bit when all the pterodactyls or whatever attacked everyone. and the lady running the park, it's her fault pretty much. And her assistant just got killed in, you know, one of the most amazing ways possible by a flying dinosaur. And then, like, a minute later, she's sort of, like, having this flirty argument with Star-Lord. And it's like, shouldn't you be reacting to the massacre that you're responsible for? Just me.
Yeah.
Just me. Maybe I am, you know, feeling too guilty. All right, I think I've got Jamie here on Skype. Jamie, is this you?
Steel.
Jamie, we've got you.
You've got me. I'm yours.
I can hear you. Ross, I'm just going to put you on hold for a sec, and I will go to a different Brit. Jamie from These Are the Actors You Are Looking For. How you doing, buddy?
Steel, I'm just happy to be here, eventually. I feel like we've gone retro. I'm Skyping in. What is this new devilry?
I think me talking to myself about Star Wars is quite retro, actually. So let's find out a bit about yourself. If those that don't know, Jamie does this awesome YouTube program, These Are the Actors You're Looking For, and you've interviewed some great guests. I just saw one with Billy Dee Williams, and you've had Jeremy Bullock on, you've had Femi Taylor on, but probably the guest I am most jealous of is Ahmed Best, Jar Jar Binks. Now, that turned into a bit of a mega episode of yours. I think the last time I looked at it, you had about 500,000, well above that. Tell us about that very interesting interview.
Well, I thought you were building up to the episode with the bloke who played Jabba the Hutt's tail, but fine. We can go with Ahmed Best. Because that's the thing, right? There were like seven people in Jabba, including Mike Edmonds, who was also low-grade Ewok, in the tail.
It's hard to believe there was an Ewok in that tail. Like, for me, it feels like the story is that Jabba just ate an Ewok whole, and now he's just sitting back there.
Yeah, working in that tail, working that tail. But yeah, Ahmed was, I mean, I reached out to him on Twitter and I must have caught him at a good time because, I mean, he pretty much, apart from going to the occasional celebration or official convention, he'd pretty much separated himself from the Star Wars world, including conventions as well. He just stopped doing them. I tweeted him. Publicly tweeted him. It was a public tweet, and then we moved to DMing, and for some reason he agreed to do an interview on Skype with me, and we did it, and it was supposed to be a bit of fun. I mean, at the end we do the Taken monologue. He performs it in the voice of Jar Jar, and it was meant to be a bit of fun like that throughout, but it just turned into quite a deep chat, to be honest. And I think because he hadn't really ever publicly about his Star Wars experience, he sort of just went for it, really. And as you mentioned, the response, I never ever expected that from a 12 minute Skype interview.
It was quite fascinating. What, before I started doing the podcast, it never occurred to me how, like, passionate almost to a fault people were in both tearing down and defending the prequels. It felt like when you were chatting to him, it had some effect, like, on him. Like, he definitely seemed a bit very guarded or almost scarred by the whole thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think people, I mean, it's easy if you dislike a character. I mean, Jar Jar, you really dislike Jar Jar if you dislike him. It's easy to forget that there is, you know, a man behind a gun. And that man was given a script. You know, that man was actually road testing new, amazing technology that really Andy Serkis has been credited with since, with Gollum. But this was pre-Gollum times. You know, Ahmed Best did a good job. He was given a script. What you think to that script is up to you. He was given the script and he did his job as an actor, and you know, I think you can only say he did a good performance. Whether you like the character Jar Jar is a separate thing. So it burnt him as a Star Wars fan, which is probably the saddest part, really. Yes, it affected him as an actor. You know, he wasn't even being seen, you know, for auditions based on that reputation. But I think it's more heartbreaking, really, that it destroyed, for a time anyway, I think he's back, but destroyed his love for Star Wars, and he was a genuine fan. You know, this was the big moment for him, as it would be for any of us.
Yeah, I hope he sort of opens himself back up to, like, the fandom. I know he did a comedy sort of book launch event at the Largo in LA recently that Michael Giacchino was actually involved in as well. But, you know, as Hayden Christensen discovered at Celebration in Orlando, I think the majority of the fan base is, you know, very keen to welcome, you know, those actors back with a very warm response. Like Hayden got like a standing ovation. And I know a certain person sitting next to me was screaming her head out at his very presence in the room. So, yeah, and there's also this thing of just like, if you don't like something in this silly space film, move on. Like, it's not, like, it's fine to have an opinion and, you know, critique stuff, but you only should dedicate a certain amount of energy to expressing that opinion before you're kind of coming through as a little bit deluded and misguided. So, I got a bit of that this morning with this anti-Disney. Is that, like, I'm not sure how sort of deep into the current fan base you're in, but is someone campaigning against Disney-made Star Wars films, like, shocking to you, or is that sort of par for the course?
Someone, as in one person?
Well, it is a few single one people, I think.
Okay. I do find that, I mean, actually, I read, I mean, I come from like a radio background. I'm still working out this YouTube thing. So I've not started to class myself as a YouTuber, so therefore I'm reading all the comments, because apparently YouTubers don't read their comments, but I'm reading them all. So I'm reading some, Jar Jar Binks level of hate, but I read some sort of nasty things, that obviously about me, because I have ridiculous hair. But I do get the odd, Disney basher, actually, to the point where they're telling me they won't even watch the films. And it's like, well, you haven't even given Disney a chance then, have you?
Yeah, but like, I just think if you've made the decision, and I respect that. If someone goes, I don't like these films, I'm not watching them, great. But don't spend every waking hour of your day telling people about it on the internet. Like, it's sort of got you just going on about what you're not doing. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's I mean, that classic thing. If you don't like something, fine, but let others who do like that thing get on with it. But then again, I'm a contradiction right now, because I signed petitions, you know, because I didn't like the Brexit result and all sorts. So I'm just as bad.
No, that's not, because that's an actual, that's like a real life thing that affects people. This is a space movie.
There's a point.
Like, when I find it offensive when they use the rhetoric of like a political campaign that, you know, holds people's futures, you know, in the balance, when they use that wording and that level of sort of chat, like, about, like, what happens to, like, these, like, Jedi that, like, you look, this is a big spoiler, but they don't actually exist, and life will continue moving on. And this is coming from someone that's dedicated a lot of their time to, you know, loving the films, but... You know, yeah, that's just,
and also it wasn't wrestled away from George Lucas. He sold it for actual money.
Hmm.
So it's not like it was stolen from him, you know. But
yeah, I would argue he probably should have sold it for a little bit more. It's weird when you see things like mega sales of things and how they're valued. Like, it sort of seems in retrospect that $4 billion wasn't that much for it.
But not really, when you look at how much one film makes. One of these films makes.
And just what other things sell for and stuff. It's just like, I don't know. And
didn't he give a nice? He gave a nice percentage of the sale to charity, did he not? So, I mean, obviously it's great that he did that, but if he got more money, he could have given more money to charity. George, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I've wondered that as well, about that he was going to donate it all, so maybe he didn't push that hard a bargain. But then also, it's like, even if you were going to keep the money, what's the difference between $4 and $5 billion? Like, I wouldn't know. It's sort of at that point. But I also think that's why I'm not mega rich, because I just don't care. Like, it's sort of just like, why would... Like, I think mega rich people, they just keep going. Like, they don't go, oh, okay, that's enough money. I'm going to go relax. I'm going to go Skype people about Star Wars. So that's our problem. We should be working the stock market right now, Jamie.
Yeah, we're in the wrong game, mate. We're in the wrong game. But I guess also with Lucas, I mean, his mindset was sort of almost going back to the beginning of his career. He wanted to go off and make little indie films again, didn't he? I haven't seen or heard anything of these aforementioned indie films, but I guess in some ways he had sort of moved on from the money in some ways, creatively at least, although he's made nothing since.
Yeah, and I think there is the theory that, you know, he just wanted the company to be in good hands. Do you know what I mean? And Disney was the best, you know, people in the world to, you know, look after the franchise and keep, you know, everyone that worked at Lucasfilm employed. Because I read an interview with him about, you know, he was sort of like, you know, he just wanted to make these sort of things to entertain himself, these little films, but he's running, you know, a company that employs like 800 people. And so their futures are sort of, were in the balance of his, you know, billionaire whims. So
yeah,
that's sort of benevolent of him as well. But let's talk about your project that you've got coming up, and that is The Empire Strikes Door. Now,
that's
one
correct.
One of my most enlightening moments is as a Star Wars fan, when it just blew my mind away. It was in the mid-90s. I had gone to Shane Morrissey's house. Shane Morrissey is one of the OG Star Wars fans in Australia. He founded the Star Walking Fan Club, and he's appeared on the podcast a few times, did some great episodes of Steel Wars, talking about how Star Wars fandom in Australia began. And I went to his house to interview him for a fanzine I was doing, and he mentioned just in passing about the stormtrooper that hit his head. And, you know, this is before the internet was cracking, and the guy at the comic book shop was pretty much your internet, your news and rumors. And I was like, what are you talking about, the stormtrooper that hits his head? And he goes, oh, you don't know. And then he put on the video of A New Hope, a VHS, and I would find it hard to think that anyone listening to this show hasn't seen it, but when the stormtroopers come into the control room, when R2-D2 are in there and Luke and the crew are in the trash compactor, the stormtrooper to our right cracks his head on the door. And in later versions of the film, they add in sound effects of the noise hitting. Thank you, Ben Burtt. I'd love to know the two things you tap together to make that infamous noise. But as sort of people have interviewed all these actors from the original Star Wars, it has become a bit contentious who was actually the stormtrooper in that suit. And your project is going to set out to try to solve that mystery. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, so I mean, it's this minor thing that is just so wonderful and so just not important to the actual narrative of that film, yet everybody eventually, you know, notices it, and we're still talking about it today on a podcast of all things. So yeah, with the videos that you mentioned for YouTube, the idea was that I'd go out and find the actors stroke characters that hadn't been so far recalled to the rebooted franchise. So therefore, as I mentioned, Jabba the Hutt's tale, of course, Jar Jar Ahmed, as we mentioned, Jeremy Bullock, Boba Fett, and of course the big one, Billy Dee as Lando. And I'd track them down, do an interview with them, and then make like a fun. Sometimes I'm not allowed to use the word audition, but basically an audition tape to kind of show people that they've still got what it takes, maybe getting back in a future film. So that's the sort of premise of these videos. And this Stormtrooper was supposed to be an episode. I wanted to find a Stormtrooper who bumped his head, probably the most famous Stormtrooper, the actual only Stormtrooper that sort of connected with something, I suppose, whether he was aiming for it or not. And it was difficult.
He connected with our hearts and the door.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've said this before, but it's cinema's most concussive blooper, and it is iconic. I think it has been voted the most famous, mistake in movie history. And I was just struggling. I mean, who plays Greedo? Easy, Google it. You'll find out, and then you'll find that he's at every single convention around the world because he has a time machine, a travel machine, every weekend of the year. So it's not a problem. You know, you go to the convention, the most local one to you, and meet him and do your thing. But with the Stormtrooper, there was multiple people claiming it was them. So there's a guy called Michael Leder, who is now dead. So I won't say too much about, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but he had done a video on YouTube saying, I'm the one who bumped my head. It's cinema's most famous blooper. It was me. Yeah, I got hold of his phone number. Because he is or was an extra on EastEnders, which is like the BBC soap opera. And I work for the BBC sometimes, so I got hold of his phone number, gave him a call, and I didn't go into, you know, the nitty-gritty of head bump gate. I just said, I'd like to talk to you about your time working on Star Wars. And he got very sort of flustered and said, I work for EastEnders. I'm the milkman. Basically telling me it's kind of a big deal. He's not allowed to talk to the press. Sorry, bye. And basically hung up on me. The milkman from EastEnders just hung up on me. So I called EastEnders, the press office, and said, is Michael not allowed to do any press? And they were quite surprised by this and said, no, it's not a problem at all. We're happy for you to, you know, promote the show, you know, in good taste. We're happy for you to talk to Michael. We'll let him know and you can take it from there. A day later, I get an email from EastEnders saying, sorry, Jamie, Michael just doesn't want to talk to you. And then he died. So I never spoke to him in the end. And another guy who's probably the other most prominent sort of person out claiming it was him is a guy called Laurie Good, and he does appear at quite a lot of conventions. He did agree to talk to me. I've done the interview with him already. And I was on a radio show in the UK talking about the videos in general. And I mentioned the Stormtrooper who bumped his head in passing in comment, as I kind of seem to be doing now in just sort of everyday conversations with people in the street. And then after the show, I got an email from a young lady. It doesn't happen to me very often in person. Any kind of young lady, any kind of lady talking to me, really, it's a rarity. So I was excited. And then the Star Wars.
I could not imagine any girl in the world not wanting to caress their fingers through your luscious locks, Jamie.
I've imagined it. I've been limited to just imagining it, to be honest. But I got an email from this girl telling me she's the daughter of an actor from the original Star Wars, and he heard me on this radio show and asked me to get in touch. Daughter stroke PA. He says he's the one who bumped his head. So I'm like, okay, right, they're all coming out of the woodwork now. So this is three people. And this guy's called Martin Reed. He is still alive. And I met him, and this is probably more for UK, maybe European listeners. He was one of the Captain Birdseyes. So Captain Birdseye was in TV adverts promoting frozen fish fingers, basically. And he was the captain who would go out and sort of, fish for this delicious meal that we would have with beans and chips on every night of the week in my household. And he's claiming it's him as well. So basically three people are claiming it's them. And if you believe certain, when Michael Leder died, for example, it made it into quite a lot of the press, and he was being credited as the Stormtrooper who bumped his head. Now, I started this investigation way before he passed away, so I'm not trying to sort of, again, speak ill of the dead, but he has no more right than any of the other two to claim it was him. Now, of course, I imagine there were lots of Stormtroopers bumping their heads on set, but the three of them have stated that they were actually in that position, in that scene. And all of them, the only consistent thing that they all say is that they heard nobody call cut. And they just presumed, because they did another take afterwards, they just presumed it would never, ever see the light of day. So they were all equally surprised when it did make the final film. Now, they've obviously all got slightly different stories as to how it happened, Laurie Goods being the most amazing, which I can tell you about if you're ready for it. But yeah, it kind of became something more than just one of my little kind of 5-minute interviews. And I like to have a bit of fun. So I'm turning it into an investigation. It's kind of tongue in cheek. I'm taking it very, very seriously. But of course, it's just, it's silly. It's nonsense, really. But at the same time, we might solve one of cinema's greatest mysteries.
So you've opened the investigation and there's people disputing this. One guy wouldn't talk to you. Have you had any, have you woken up with like a torn head in your bed as a warning to stay away from the secrets of the head bumping stormtrooper? Has there been any threats?
Yeah, I mean, waking up to a severed torn head has happened on many occasions in my life, a pre stormtrooper who bumped his head investigation. So for me, it's like it's business as usual. But I mean, I haven't had any kind of hostility towards me in regards to it, but I am finding hostility between these actors, and I absolutely love it. I'm thriving on the hostility because they are just slinging mud at each other. And the next job, this is wonderful. The next job is to get them in the same room together, the two that are still with us, of course, and do polygraph tests. I've done initial interviews with them.
Oh, I'm just getting set for the world's first stormtrooper catfight. This is going to be great.
It is. And to the point where, one said, oh, we earned... I'm just giving random figures here. I'd have to go back through the interview footage. But one's like, oh, we earned £5 for a day's work on Star Wars, which I guess at the time £5 would have been quite a lot. What's that in dollars? Probably about $8 or $9, maybe. Then another one's saying... he's gone overboard. He's indulging. He earned £30 for a day's work, and the other one's absolutely not. So, it's just these little things they're all arguing about. And I mean, there are eyewitnesses out there as well. So, I'm hoping to talk to more people who were on set that day. Also, learn a little bit about stormtrooper outfits because I'm hearing one of them's talking about them having to actually adapt the helmet at some point during the filming of the Death Star scenes because they were slipping over people's eyes so much. So I need to see if there's any truth to that because the other one's denying that ever happened. So someone's lying, basically. I'm going to find out which one.
So there's a lot to be, there's a lot of conjecture, but have you been able to prove that all three of these actors were actually stormtroopers in the film?
So, this is where it gets interesting. So Michael, if it does ever get interesting, Michael Leader, the one who passed away, refused to talk to me. He has been confirmed as being on set. Gary Kurtz, the producer of the original Star Wars film, has confirmed that he was on set. Also, another stormtrooper who, the only one I've met who's not claiming it was him, is called Chris Bunn. He claims to be the original stormtrooper. He says that they actually molded the armor on his bod. He's got the square pecs. And he said he remembers Michael Leader being on set as well. So he also confirms that Laurie Good was on set. Now, he also tells me that Martin Leader, Captain Birdseye, was, as far as he knows, not on set. He doesn't recognize him. I showed him pictures. He doesn't recognize him. However, I'll go back to Gary Kurtz. Maybe Gary Kurtz was just sitting on the fence. Maybe he's that kind of guy, but he said he recognized all three of them. So what I need to do, and this is why I'm sort of taking it further, because hopefully it will sort of be a bit interesting anyway to find a little bit out about how this ended up in the edit, why they chose to use this take, because they did do other takes. But I'd like to talk to the editors, but also the second assistant directors, who would have the call sheets that day, see if the names match. So there's things we can do that I'm planning on doing, that I'm trying to do. But I do believe that at least two of the three were definitely on set. Now, if Martin Reed, Captain Birdseye, wasn't on set, I'd be quite disappointed, you know. I've already spent like half a day with him, you know, and he spent half a day lying to my face, essentially. But I think he was. I think he was on set. And he's got a massive head. His head is huge. So it could well have been him. His head is absolutely, it's ginormous. I've never seen anything like it. So it probably was him. There's no way a helmet could have ever neatly fitted on top of that bunt. I should tell you as well, Laurie Good, so the other one who has spoken to me, whose head is not as impressive, he says he had, and this has actually been out in the press recently, he had diarrhea, and that's what led to him bumping his head. So he ended up shuffling along the corridor. He had to go again for the eighth time that day, perhaps. And that's when he banged his head. So he was a little bit kind of all over the place due to the movements happening within. So, yeah, I call him the storm pooper, by the way.
there for the hour.
I think that the real documentary here is Gary Kurtz's amazing memory that he can remember his extras 40 years ago.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, he might have just been sitting on the fence, but I kind of feel sorry for the guy. I mean, how can you feel sorry for the guy? He was the producer on one of the greatest films of all time, but he loved Star Wars. And for anyone who doesn't know, it didn't end very well between him and George Lucas, to the point where, you know, he practically named The Empire Strikes Back, by the way. He was actually the guy who pretty much came up with that title. But they fell out after Empire, and Gary Kurtz never made it on to Return of the Jedi. Those who are not fans of Return of the Jedi, I like Return of the Jedi, do suggest that perhaps not having his involvement might have affected the direction that film went in. And the rumour has it, I don't know if he's ever come out and said it outright, but rumour has it, it was the fallout was over the direction Lucas was going in with the Ewoks, focusing more perhaps on, you know, characters that will sell toys. And I think Gary Kurtz wanted a darker film, basically. But he talks about it. He doesn't talk about it in a bitter way. So it's a different... I mean, talking to Ahmed about Jar Jar, you're talking to him and he's still raw, because it wasn't that long ago, really. Sure, it wasn't quite long enough to make me feel old now, but it wasn't in the grand scheme of things when you compare Gary Kurtz talking now in 2017 about filming in 1976, for example, on A New Hope. Maybe it's just not as raw of him anymore, but he talks so passionately about Star Wars still and his experience of working on it. And there's a little bit of sadness there as well, because he doesn't quite get the recognition that he perhaps should. You know, he's not, you know, how Kathleen Kennedy is so talked about within Star Wars circles these days, as, you know, when the producers on the films and at Lucasfilm. I just feel he might feel like he's become a bit of a forgotten man in the Star Wars universe. But yeah, he's a really interesting guy, and what a memory.
That is an amazing memory. You're right about the time sort of opens things up, because I know they were making a making of the Force Awakens book, and the making of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi books were, you know, they were recently done in the past like maybe 5 years, and they were quite warts and all. And the author of those books had worked on this Making of the Force Awakens book. And when it got, you know, it was finished, and when it got time to publish it, Lucasfilm they put the kibosh on it. Cause I think like they weren't willing to, you know, talk about the issues that the film had and, you know, the production had. It's like so soon after the film, whereas when you go back and read the making of books of Star Wars and Empire and Return of the Jedi, it is quite warts and all, with, you know, debates over, you know, direction in the film and arguments like amongst the production team and stuff. So it's you sort of hope that in years to come that we'll sort of get to like enjoy those stories. But I always find very curious in any subculture why people dislike each other. Do you know what I mean? Like little like things that people have, like whether it's stamp collecting or pinball, video games, all that sort of stuff. And there was quite an interesting documentary that came out a couple of years ago called Elstree 1976, which I'm sure you have studied up on, and it sort of interviews a lot of the people that were on set. Now, I found very fascinating the hierarchy between these background character actors and the signings at conventions and stuff. And there was a little bit of bitchiness between, people that had speaking roles and people that were just under a helmet. Have you encountered any of that in your interviews and research?
I've encountered a few off the record comments. Sure, Steele. How long have you got?
I've got about
podcast, yeah?
Yeah.
But you know what? The problem is when the mic's on or when the camera's on, these people talking about the conventions, because let's be honest, some are making a living out of it. Some are, topping up their pension out of it. They're not going to say anything negative. They've got a lot of negative things to say, and I'm sure some just don't want to be there. They've never seen Star Wars, never even saw it after, when it was first released, after being in it. They're never going to say that. It's a shame, because you could make a really, really interesting warts and all convention documentary, focusing on these guys who attend them, because, there's got to be, for some of them, because I think some of them genuinely love it. Some of them do genuinely really enjoy it. And actually, Jeremy Bullock, for example, he's so passionate about it. And he's a guy in his probably late 70s, maybe even early 80s. And he is having a time of his life. He's getting paid to travel the world every week. He goes somewhere new in the summer. And he's just meeting people. And he likes to chat. He'll have a good chat. He's making a bit of pocket money. And he's seeing the world, like I mentioned. So he absolutely is so passionate about it, and genuinely so. But, I mean, the ones who aren't deep down passionate about it, they're just never going to say it, because, of course, they don't want to fall out with the convention bookers and also the fans, who are paying for the autographs and the photo shoots or what have you. But I would love to tell you a couple of the stories I have heard, but I'll have to wait until the person in question dies. I will speak ill of the dead.
Jeremy Bullock is someone that sort of got given the opportunity to, to the world for these conventions, and has just made the most of it and has sort of embraced the fun of it. And he's a real credit to, the Star Wars fandom. That guy's awesome.
He is. He absolutely is. And also, I would say the same about Paul Blake, who played Greedo. He doesn't do as much as Jeremy, but I tell you why I would put him on the same level. Because him and Jeremy Bullock have both got thespian backgrounds. They did Shakespeare. They did BBC radio drama. They did sort of, in some people's opinions, they did what you would call proper acting. They're on stage, they, like I said, played Shakespeare stories, and then they go into something like Star Wars or maybe Doctor Who, and they're doing these conventions, and of course everybody is buzzing on meeting them and only asking them questions.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for, but you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Questions about Star Wars. Nobody wants to know about doing Hamlet. Nobody wants to know about being in the BBC radio drama company's adaptation of The Wind and the Willows. No one wants to know about that. They want to know about Star Wars. And you can imagine some of these actors, who would probably never go to a convention anyway, would be quite rubbed up the wrong way by that, quite bitter about it. And I've heard rumours of actors within the Star Wars circles who actually are a bit like that down. I'm sure everybody else has heard similar rumours. Actually, another one who has to, you have to take credit to, again, he doesn't do many conventions, far less than Paul Blake or Jeremy Bullock, is Ian McDiarmid. Again, still doing like you know, sort of Shakespeare style drama productions here in the UK. But if you get him on Star Wars, he's as passionate as anybody, as any of us.
Yeah.
And hilarious as both in interviews.
Yeah, he was great at Celebration. Just like really entertaining. So it is, I don't know, it's so refreshing when people can, you know, put away their pride a little bit and just run with it and go, well, I'm here because of Star Wars, so I can either have the most fun ever with it or, you know, get grumpy that we're not talking about my role on EastEnders or The Bill or something like that.
Yeah, I'd talk to anyone about their role in The Bill, though, to be fair.
Oh, The Bill, that is... No, I don't want to start an international incident, but not for me, not for me.
Okay, well,
but before we'll take some calls, but before we get to that, you're doing a bit of crowdsource funding to get the doc underway. So give us the sweet pitch on that.
Yeah, thank you. So I have started it because, again, it was initially meant to be part of the standard These Are the Actors You're Looking For, like I say, 5, 6 minute, 7 minute episode. But I ended up doing more interviews because, of course, people kept coming out of the woodwork telling me it was them. So I've done initial interviews with two of the three actors, rejected by one of them, as I mentioned earlier. I want to take this further. As I mentioned, I've spoken to Gary Kurtz. I want to talk to more people who are on set that day. Gary Kurtz has given me some names to speak to. They're not local to me. It's expensive, you know, even doing filming that is local, because I've tried to get this to a certain quality and to maintain that. It's you know, I've run out of favours, basically. No one will help me anymore for free. And the big thing really that made me, because I've never, ever, ever, you know, on some of my videos, I don't even turn the ad, the monetize button on, mostly because I forget. But, I don't make money out of these videos. And I spend, just being honest. I spend money on them. You know, I spend my own money on them. Like, you know, we all do. We're doing it, you know, for you know, it's our passion. Really, we love Star Wars. And I do work in broadcasting. So in some ways, I should be sick and tired of doing stuff like this. But I want to talk about Star Wars. I want to talk to people who are in Star Wars. But I can't get anyone at the BBC or Comedy Central to commission that kind of thing. So I'm doing it for myself. And luckily, a few people are enjoying it. But what really made me realise I've got to get some help from people with this one is when the two actors who I've spoken to agreed to do the polygraph test, because I have to do that. I have to do that. That's amazing. And to get them in the same room together as well, you know, and I will stir, you know, they're old men, so of course I'm going to be a little bit respectful, but I will stir it up. And I this is a UK reference, but I'll go Jeremy Kyle on their asses. And it's got to be done. And they're not cheap. Polygraph tests are not cheap. So that's when I started to think about crowdfunding for the first time. And then it's like, well, hang on. When I call this a documentary, by the way, I'm not going to create something along the lines of 90 minutes about the stormtrooper who bumped his head for a split second in Star Wars A New Hope. We're talking about 30 minutes, mini documentary territory. But again, I want to talk to all these people. It all costs money. The polygraph tests are the biggie, really. So yeah, I decided to take it to Indiegogo, the Empire Strikes store. It's out there. And actually, I'm going to give you an exclusive steal if you'd like it.
I love an exclusive.
This is for you then, my friend. Mm-hmm. So one thing I thought of, because when you see these fan-funded films, like a fan-funded horror film, zombie film, they sometimes have, it's really cool, they sometimes have this perk. So if you contribute like quite a lot of money, like $1,000, towards the film, you can be in the film, and not only in the film, you can be killed off in the film, and that's quite cool. But I can't really, you know, offer anything like that. This is still a very sort of small. I'm not looking for a big budget.
I was going to say, you know, I don't know if I want to support this project if you're going to be like killing fans in the middle of a documentary. That is, I can't get behind
one
that.
One way to get views, though, I suppose. Now that you mention it, but one thing I thought about was having a jury, a virtual jury. So I would have, like, I don't know, I mean, a jury, maybe what I've got, like, sort of 5 to 8 people, and I can offer some spots, exclusive spots, out to anybody who wants to pay the relevant sum of cash. Now, to lure people in, this is the exclusive, because I have already got that on the website, but this is what's not on the website, and I probably, mostly because I will forget as soon as this podcast ends, So you'll just keep this exclusive. You can just keep rolling with it.
You are the anti-Gary Kurtz.
I am. I'm so bad. I need some Gary Kurtz in me. I need what he's been taking. I've just been bumping my head too much. I feel like the stormtrooper bumped his head, honestly. I have got some stardust. I've sprinkled some stardust. So I have filled... How many have I filled? Here's the memory issue again. I've filled 3 spots in the jury already. And there are spots for anyone else who wants to join. And these 3 people are connected to the Star Wars. Well, one of them certainly directly connected to the Star Wars films. And the other 2 certainly connected to pop culture fandom in a big way. So I've not revealed who these people are, but I'm about to reveal for you, Steele.
Hit me.
Ralph
Garman. Where do I know him from?
So Ralph Garman does a lot of sort of... he's on. Is it K-Rock, the station in LA? The radio station? Is it K-Rock?
Yeah,
He does voices on Family Guy, and he's one of those people that you sort of know without knowing, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha.
So when you look at his sort of IMDb and whatever sort of web shows he does, you're kind of like, I know Ralph Garman. But anyway.
Oh, no, that's what I was thinking. Someone, Chris in the chat room has just chimed in, and it's Ralph that does the Hollywood Babylon podcast.
Yeah.
We're in the future now, Jamie. We don't need references to radio stations. It's podcast fame. That's what the kids are into.
You're right. I've got to move on. It's the memory. I keep forgetting that we're not in 1932 listening to radio drama adaptations of The Wind in the Willows starring Paul Blake and Jeremy Bullock.
That's a good reference.
Yeah. Number 2, Greg Grunberg, Snap Wexley, The Force Awakens.
Ooh, tight. Very nice.
Number 3, Kevin Smith.
Wow, that is a... There's 3 headlining Comic-Con guests that you've got there, pretty much.
Yeah, man, and I'm hoping to add a final name to it in the next couple of days, and all I'll say is he might be a WWE wrestler and he might keep a list.
Oh, nice.
I didn't say anything.
Very cool. So
they're the kind of things I'm doing to lure people in to contributing to my silly little documentary.
The Ayatollah of rock and roller for longtime wrestling fans. That is so cool. How do you get on this jury?
Yeah, so the point will be, obviously, like any jury, you'll have a big say in the final result. So, of course, I can never really 100% prove who it was out of these 3 actors. It doesn't help that one of them's not alive anymore, but really, even if he was, unless Lucasfilm are going to open up the archive to me, we're not really ever going to prove it. So I think we'll get very close with the polygraph tests, with the eyewitnesses, with some of the information I've already got that I'm not giving you, sorry. I've got to hold on to something. I've given you everything so far, even things that I'm not allowed to say, i.e. the aforementioned maybe WWE wrestler guy. But I have stopped short telling you a few bits and bobs. So, I mean, already I have an idea in my mind of who it was. But we'll never get, you know, above, in my opinion, 90%. But we could get to 95%. And that would be throwing the power over to the jury. So I'll present the jury with the facts and they'll either, so with the guys I mentioned, I'll record it over on, because I'm not in the States, they're all LA based actually. I'll record it over Skype or FaceTime and they'll just simply give their vote and a quick testimonial as to why they're going with that person. So for anyone else joining the jury, so on the Indiegogo page, you can get in ahead of the game because, like I say, I haven't updated it yet, and I definitely won't today or tomorrow and then next week. I'm just the worst, aren't I? But you'll either self-shoot yourself or sounds a bit sinister, or you will chat to me on FaceTime or Skype and, again, just give your vote, quick reason why, Or if you don't want to be seen, you can email it to me and we'll do some fancy sort of text graphics, maybe Gil Sands or good old Ariel in the final film. So it'll be really seen right at the end of the mini documentary, 30 minutes. Because some people I'm reading comments like, I don't want to watch 90 minutes of this. It's like, neither do I. I don't want to make it. You know, 30 minutes is what we're talking. I'm not good at promoting my own stuff. So you'll have to say, you know, and I'll take the votes. Whoever has the most votes is the guy as far as we're concerned.
All right. Very nice. Can someone get this reward, then appear in a Stormtrooper helmet and then claim they were the Stormtrooper, totally like corrupt the whole system?
Depends how much they're contributing, to be honest. Maybe I should add that as a perk. corrupt my system for $1 million.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I'm not convinced there won't be any more who come out of the woodwork. If there's three already, there was probably quite a lot more than three, well, definitely a lot more than three Stormtroopers on set that day. So I wouldn't be surprised if more start approaching me, and then I'm going to have to, I can only afford two polygraph tests. So hopefully no more will come out. But it's one of them things, mate. It's a mystery. It's a real mystery.
And the sad reality is that in, you know, about 20 years, you'll be doing a documentary about what CGI artist made the Stormtrooper do this or that in one of the prequel films.
Well, didn't Jango Fett, as a little joke, he bumped his head, didn't he, in Attack of the Clones?
He did bump his head, which would always for me, because, you know, like they say that by the time of A New Hope, there's not so many clones, but there obviously was still one clone if this head bumping thing was going on, if you put two and two together. And what's the website that where do people go to check out this project?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I only built the page. Indiegogo, so indiegogo.com, just live checking this. Yeah, indiegogo.com. Search for the Empire Strikes store, and it will be there. It's the only Empire Strikes store. There's T-shirts, all sorts of things you can get your hands on for the relevant cash. But, you know, like you can donate as little as £1, which I think about $1.2, keeps changing. Or, you know, just tweeting about it, all support helps, really. If you can't give any money, or you just don't want to, which probably won't blame me for, just, you know, tweeting about it, sharing it on Facebook, any kind of support, actually, it all really genuinely does help. One other theory that really, well, I say it's not a theory. It made me laugh, actually, like most of these theories. And I'm sure you've seen this. There's a meme out there, and it's split screen, and you've got the Stormtrooper bumping his head, the moment. And then below it, you've got Snoke with his sort of scar in that pretty much that position of where the head strike happened. Enjoyed that one.
Well, I have coined a little saying in Star Wars fandom, and it goes, your Snoke theory sucks. That's an entertaining theory, but yeah. But let's hit some calls. Let's go to Ross that I chatted to at the start of the show. Ross, what is on your mind?
Hey again. Cheers. Thanks for talking through that. It was really cool. Looking forward to checking out the project. My question or thought really was, I was really interested in sort of the Knights of Ren in the lead up to The Force Awakens, and really, really liked the concept art in the Art of Force Awakens book, but we only saw them for a split second, and there hasn't really been much mentioned about them so far in the lead up to The Last Jedi, other than some potential spoiler bits. But now we've got this introduction of like Snoke's elite Praetorian guards and new stormtroopers, etc. So I was just really thinking about sort of if they're going to leave much space for the Knights of Ren to get the sort of attention or development that they deserve, as there's going to be this abundance of background First Order characters now coming into the Last Jedi. So, yeah, guys, I just sort of wanted to know your thoughts on that. Are you into the Knights of Ren? Are you not really bothered about them? And just, yeah, those kind of characters that you got sort of amped for or interested in The Force Awakens that you didn't see much of or any at all, a.k.a. Zuvio. Is there a cut out of the movie, or if they weren't given much time, which ones would you be, like, bothered about, or do you want to see more of sort of Knights of Ren if that's something you're interested in?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that scene where they appeared in the Force back. You know, there's my understanding is that they were, you know, a part of the destruction of the Jedi training school of Luke's. You know, we saw that with the fire, and it would be like, I definitely, like, if they're going to do flashbacks and stuff, that's a scene I desperately want to see more of. And if you look at the Last Jedi teaser, they do show what appears to be another angle of that scene at the Jedi Academy. Now, it as hard as it may be to, I don't know, to come to grips with, the Knights of Ren could be this trilogy's like Sifo Dyas. Remember Sifo Dyas in Attack of the Clones? And we thought we'd find out all about that. And then, like, I was sort of like, that was one of my big things going into Revenge of the Sith, was like, going to find out about this Sifo Dyas. What's that guy's caper? But unfortunately, when George was writing the script, he pulled a Jamie and not a Kurt, and totally forgot to follow up on that thread. Jamie, do you track sort of the modern fandom and the way rumors come together for the upcoming films?
I'm sort of, I'm 50-50 with watching trailers and reading potential spoilers. I have the best intentions of never, ever reading or watching anything, but I 90% of the time naturally forget about those intentions and end up reading and watching. So I'm always wanting to know less, but I end up knowing more. And I would be quite cool not finding out any more about the Knights of Ren, to keep them, you know, as these mysterious characters that look really cool. But at the same time, I would be equally very happy to find out more about them. And as you mentioned, I think we are going to see more of that Force back flashback. And that's fine, because there's a lot of questions that are left from what we've seen so far. One thing that I can add is that I play football with a Knight of Ren, soccer. Yeah,
that is one of the all-time best little casual name drops ever.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mark Stanley. If you Google image him, you might recognize him from Game of Thrones. He was Gren. He was in, I think, in about three seasons maybe before he naturally met his comeuppance. He in the UK, he's doing some pretty good BBC dramas and getting decent roles. Like, he was someone quite big in an Oliver Twist thing recently, but not Oliver Twist. He disappears a lot from playing football on a Wednesday night, and he disappeared for quite some time. And then The Force Awakens comes out, and I suppose a lot of the actors that we don't see in the trailers or that we knew were going to be returning for the film, the minor characters start to appear on the convention circuit rosters. And I saw a Knight of Ren on the, it was for London Film and Comic Con, and I was looking at it, and I saw a Knight of Ren. I saw the picture, you know, in the rain, and I thought, oh, cool. Like, I love those guys, know nothing about them. And then under it, I see the name, Mark Stanley. That's my mate who I play football with. So he was, we get annoyed when people don't turn up to football because we rely on getting certain numbers, obviously, for a good game. But the fact that he was sneaking off to go and be a Knight of Ren in The Force Awakens, that's okay by me. But he's still never really spoken about it. He sort of doesn't seem to know anything about his own role. He may as well have been Jon Snow in Game of Thrones, I suppose. But yeah, he as you'd imagine, he knows absolutely nothing. And he said it's the kind of role he these days tries not to take, essentially an extra part, but he had to do it because it was Star Wars. And he did have a Star Wars game.
So
I told you nothing, really, but
he went missing. Did he, like, about a year ago, go missing again? Has he gone missing another time?
Good question. I could go back through the WhatsApp group. That might take some time, delving through the archive. But to be honest, he's very flaky. But like I say, he's doing a lot of... He's one of those rare, busy actors. So he could be doing anything. But I would have to say, in answer to your question, yeah. And he's not coming to a stag do in a couple of weeks. When do they start filming the next one?
Oh, no, nah, that's yet. Not... That's not for a while. Maybe there's a reshoot, but that's an interesting that's an interesting way for him to get out of, like, is he just being lazy and can't be bothered playing soccer, or is he hanging out with Kylo Ren? We'll never know.
I think the former is probably more likely, but then again, they don't need him back, do they? Because it was such a split second moment. I mean, they just need someone of a similar height, don't they? They don't need Mark Stanley, otherwise known as Gren from Game of Thrones. He can come and play football with me. They don't need him back in it. So,
yeah, but Star Wars has this great history of getting people back for no reason.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? The fact that Jeremy Bullock got brought back in Return of the Jedi to be Boba Fett again, like, you know, it didn't have to go that way. Do you know what I mean? But
Sorry, yeah, he was a pilot as well, wasn't he, in one of the prequels, was it? Revenge of the Sith, maybe?
He was a pilot in The Phantom Menace.
Right.
Yeah, I think he got blown up at the start by the Trade Federation, if my memory serves me well. Thanks very much, Ross. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Cheers. Yeah, I was just wondering, like, with these people sort of, you know, one person being the Knights of Ren and then maybe replaced with another person, you'll probably then get people on the convention circuit saying, like, I'm Knights of Ren. No, I'm the Knights of Ren. And then there's a whole lot of shenanigans with that.
Oh,
and I just wonder with your football team, if you lose a game, does the guy sort of go around slaughtering the other, like, other team members? That's the kind of thing that happens when he gets mad.
But sometimes, right, so basically we have a big WhatsApp group of sort of 20 people. We need 10 minimum to get a game five aside. We don't have set teams, so whoever turns up, we'll look at what colours you're wearing, what's the best match. So you can end up playing with different people every week, the same people, but different people on different teams. So I've played with Mark. I've been on the same team as him. So does that make me a Knight of Ren?
Ooh, you can go on the circuit.
that'd be wonderful. I wouldn't complain about that. I'd be Jeremy Bullock vibing that. But no, he doesn't slaughter people at the end of a match. But maybe when that potential aspect of his character comes out, maybe in a future film, perhaps he'll start to flaunt it on the pitch. Who knows?
But I think Ross brings up an interesting point in, you know, with all these background actors and you making this documentary. It's going to be a bump a couple of years for stenographers worldwide. The industry is going to have an influx of income from all these background actors claiming to be these masked Star Wars characters.
Yeah, and there is demand for it. I mean, one video I did quite recently, and I'm just plugging my videos, was with Ingvild, and she, you know, she's given up on me actually pronouncing her surname correctly, Ingvild Delia. She's a Norwegian, British-based actress, and she was the CGI Leia in Rogue One. So it was her body, obviously, the CGI head, face.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already, it took some time after Rogue One was released, and obviously, I suppose, Carrie Fisher then becoming a very sensitive subject around Christmas time, she was embargoed to talk about it at all. I mean, the guy who stood in for Peter Cushing was already doing interviews when she was still being told, no, wait. So I don't know how much Carrie Fisher's passing had to do with that. Was it becoming, you know, having another layer of sensitivity over it? But as soon as she had the embargo released, she started doing interviews. She got signed up by two convention agents, I think one for Europe, one for the States, and yeah, she's doing them all summer as far as I can see, and she can't believe it, because really she just stood there, You know, you don't see a face, but that's the beauty of Star Wars, isn't it? We want to meet
people. It is. Cheers, Ross. Good to hear from you.
Cheers, and good luck with your LA podcast.
Ah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good time to sizzle. Next Sunday, the 25th of June, we'll be at the Nerd Melt Theatre at the back of Meltdown Comics doing a live episode of Steel Wars at 4 p.m. So if you are in the LA, Southern California area, come down. It is just $10. I've got one more guest who can confirm, but I can give everyone a scoop and let you know that Chris Gore from Film Threat will be one of our guests. And Chris appeared, I think, on day 4 of our Star Wars Celebration coverage. And he gave us a very impassioned, quick interview talking Star Wars and Luke Skywalker and stuff. So I can't wait to talk to him long form in front of you guys. And there's people coming up from San Diego and a few people flying down from San Francisco. So it's really cool. But if you're in the area, make sure you are there. Before we go to the bonus time for our Patreon supporters, which if you're listening live, you'll be able to listen to that as well. We'll take one more call and we will go to upstate New York for Patreon supporter Colleen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I am so well. What is on your mind this afternoon in New York?
Well, it's just funny that things have come to this, that Lindo and I actually had a very similar idea to Jamie's. So I was just wondering his opinion on it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were wondering if you had any interest in finding the actor behind Wilro Hood.
I'm interested in finding all the actors, all of them. I'll snap them up. So I'm not going to lie, because I could just lie and say that I know exactly who you're talking about, but I'm not that kind of guy, Curly. So tell me more. Tell me more about Wilro Hood.
Wilro Hood was the starring character in Empire Strikes Back. He was top billed. He had an ice cream maker, and he ran through the inner workings of Cloud City in an orange jumpsuit, kind of a beer belly, and some amazing facial hair. And apparently to this day, no one knows who this amazing ice cream man is.
Okay, I have just Googled him, and he is kind of familiar, I'm told. Species human, gender male, hair color black, eye color brown. That's all I need. I'll find him.
Yeah, he's turned into a bit of a cult character in the background. Fans demanded, I think it was in the mid-2000s, and they got their demands met by Hasbro, and he got an action figure, the action being the carrying of an ice cream maker, which actually was a 1979 edition ice cream maker. I always thought it looked like an ice cream maker. But no, ice cream maker. There's a great tradition at Star Wars celebrations. They do the running of the Wilro Hood, and you'll see, you know, 20 to 50 cosplaying Wilro Hoods like sprinting through the convention trying to escape Cloud City. So to track him down would be a huge win, Jamie.
I'm looking now. I've just Googled Wilro Hood actor. And yeah, I might have to put the Empire Strikes door to one side, because this would be a full-time job by the looks of things. But honestly, you know what? I am genuine. I mean, hopefully he's alive, because then it sort of becomes impossible if he's not.
Of course, I would
absolutely be up for it. And maybe we can all work together on this one.
That is inspiring to hear. I'm very happy to hear that.
I don't know, Jamie, if he is dead, if you can afford a polygraph, surely you can afford a seance.
Yeah. We can't rule anything out, can we, really? Yeah. Will Rowe Hood. I feel bad for not knowing, but I miss these kind of things, or I forget about them. I've been to quite a lot of celebrations. When I say quite a lot, I mean two, both that are in the UK. But I'm up for it.
Thank God, mystery. Because this has been keeping me awake at night.
Oh, you've got an ice cream man headache.
I do. But Linda and I would be so happy if we could assist you in any way, and I know we'd be very happy to support you in whatever
Thank
way
you.
Possible.
Yeah. Reach out. Let's keep talking about this because, this could be my side project.
Yes, we will happily be your side project.
I mean, I wanted to find, if I could write a wish list of the actors the characters I'd like to find, it will be the Rancor Keeper and Porkins. But both of those actors, unfortunately, have perished. So Aww. I can't find them. But, you know, that's really the issue when it comes to some of these characters. Because, I mean, even Billy Dee Williams wasn't a particularly young man when he was in Empire Strikes Back. He was like in his 40s, I believe, early 40s. So, you know, a lot of them are obviously very old these days or just dead. It's got very morbid, isn't it, really, Miss?
Yeah.
But imagine the success story, Jamie, if you do track down Wilrow Hood, and then at Star Wars Celebration in a couple of years, he's there handing out ice creams. He's making a fortune selling his ice creams.
Do you think this guy's even aware of his legacy, his legend?
I don't think.
I think he's obscure enough that he probably wouldn't.
Because I just wonder why he... I mean, I have to say I'm sort of leaning towards Death's Door here. Not personally, but I just feel he must not be with us anymore, because why has a convention not snapped him up, you know?
That's a... Well, okay, then let's move on to the possibility of a seance. We'll get a little bit of his hair and that exact ice cream maker. And we will call out to him.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Love it. All right, well, we're on our way, Colleen. I hope you and Lindo can rest a little easier now.
I think we will.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, buddy. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks. Nice talking to you.
See ya.
All righty. So what we're going to do is we'll hit bonus time for the Patreon supporters and those listening live. If you're listening on delay in iTunes and you want to hear the bonus show, it is just $3 a month and you get all the back episodes delivered to your podcast application of choice, and you help the little podcast to continue, because in this day and age, some things are listener or viewer supported, much like Segway Jamie's project to determine which stormtrooper did actually hit their head in the Empire Strikes door. Now, Jamie is an absolutely useless sizzler of information. So in the show notes will be the Indiegogo link to the project. Someone in the chat room has posted already. But when is the... okay. So thank you, Chris. It is indiegogo.com/projects/the-empire-strike-door-film-Star Wars and then hashtag and slanty thing that's underneath the question mark on your keyboard. I've blanked on what that is called, but at least I got most of the address out anyway, but it'll be in the show notes. Now, Chris posted it. Jamie, when is the deadline for this project to wrap up for the actual crowdfunding?
So I would like to get the mini documentary out there in December. That will really that'll be determined by how close to the goal we get to. So far, we're not doing very well. But I mean, whatever happens, a version will be made. At the very minimum, I need to get those polygraph
test sorted. And basically, what I'm doing now is stalling because I don't know how long it's got left, but I can find out. I can tell you, it's about 3 weeks. It's about 3 weeks. We went for the maximum 2 months. And it's a flexible one, so actually there's no real deadline, because when the deadline passes in 3 weeks, you can still actually contribute, I'm told. So it would be nice, obviously, after 3 weeks to know what our budget is, and then I can plan for the version that we can afford. But people can still chip in, you know, in November, presumably, or in years to come.
Very, very cool. And there is a bunch of different levels. For £2, you can get a warm, fuzzy feeling. You can get shout-out tweets. You can get your name in the documentary credits at the £10 level. There is also advanced screenings. There is art packs, badges of honor, and a T-shirt bundle. I always like it when you can help something out and, you know, get a little bit of merch in return. So check out all that. And Jamie, have you got any upcoming guests on These Are the Actors you are looking for that you can sizzle to our audience?
No. You really big me up then as well, and I've got nothing. I've got nothing for you. It's more fizzle than sizzle. I have really put the last, since I finally got the Billy Dee Williams episode out, which was a long time coming, I have really been focusing on this and a couple other little non-Star Wars related projects in my life. So I'm actually, and this is something else I'm always open to, if people have ideas, we've had one already on this podcast, which is great, I'm more than up for people sending me ideas of characters, stroke actors that I can track down. You know, and it's, I'm in the UK and I'm in a lucky position where a lot of the actors are based here, but equally if they're not, you know, it's possible. It's possible on the Skype and the FaceTime, like I did with Ahmed Beth. So at the moment, it's I wouldn't even say it's a hiatus. It's just, I've just literally got all my content out there. But I am looking to sort of stock up again on interviews. So if anyone wants to get in touch and suggest more people that I can track down, I'm all ears.
Very cool. But yeah, there is some great interviews already up there. So if you haven't already, hit up YouTube. These are the actors you're looking for. And there is some impressive guests that, admittedly, as a Star Wars interviewer, I'm a little bit jealous of, Jamie. I've got guest envy.
Oh, well, anyone you want, apart from Billy Dee Williams, I can send you away. I can pimp them out to you. Not a problem. We can talk.
Nice. And to Jamie's credit, he has helped me try to get someone already. So I appreciate that. Thanks to everyone in the chat room for chatting along, and we will continue into the bonus time. Next episode, we will have the guys from Black Series Rebels, the YouTube show. They will be co-hosting, and that will be on our more traditional time of, if you're in America, it is Friday night. If you are in Australia, it's around midday. And if you're in the UK, you are staying up hella late till about 1 or 2 a.m. Let us hit that bonus content. All right, on the line, we have got a mysterious number that starts with 447795. If you've been on hold for about 20 minutes, that is probably you. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, Steele. It's Chris from the UK.
Chris, how you doing, buddy? You have been a wealth of information in the chat room. You should get a role as Jamie's hype man, because you have got the art of the sizzle way more down than our documentary producing pal. What is on your mind this evening in the UK?
Well, firstly, sorry about that tweet earlier on. You'll know what I'm talking about with the Disney lunatic.
Oh, yeah. You've got nothing to apologize for.
Well, yeah, I tagged you and I was like, oh no, this is going horribly. horribly pear-shaped, but never mind.
Oh, no, but the best thing was I enjoyed it. Like, it makes me feel like a saner person to interact with someone that's got their value system so twisted. So you were, it was a Saturday morning thrill for me.
Oh, that's all right. Just one thing on mind. Charlie asked me to ask you something, Jamie. So apparently you recently done an interview with...
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that super fun live call-in show. And thanks to Jamie. If you want to check out his Empire Strikes Door project, the link is in the show notes. And as we do every week, we recorded a Patreon member bonus show. I think this one goes for about 40 minutes. In that, we talk to Jamie about his StarWars.com interview with the band Kasabian. Jamie's very awkward interview with Darth Vader himself, Dave Prowse. Jamie gives some really interesting insights on that one and Prowse's excommunication from official Star Wars events. Young Jacob, one of our favorite callers from Sydney, calls in to admit he's not very impressed with Jamie's project, which is hilarious. We talk lightsabers, and Jacob gives his ruling on the Helisabers, a really fun bonus show that we do every week. And for $3 a month, you can hear those bonus shows along with all the exclusive supporter content. There is, I think, maybe over 200 episodes up now on the Steel Wars Patreon page. And how it works is $3 a month and you get a exclusive RSS feed that you can paste in seconds into any podcast app of choice, and you will have unfiltered access to our entire back catalog and all the exclusive supporter content, and you'll listen with the warm knowledge that you're helping to support the continued production of the Steel Wars podcast. You can get all the information on steelwars.com, or you can go direct to patreon.com/steelwars. Now, our next live call-in show will feature the guys from the Black Series Rebels YouTube show, which I appeared on this week, and you should check out. I've posted the link on Facebook and Twitter, or just go on to YouTube and search Black Series Rebels, and it's a really fun YouTube show. But they'll be joining us, and it will be at our regular time at Friday night if you are in the USA, and around the middle of the day Saturday if you are in Australia. And if you're in the UK, it's super late Friday night or early Saturday morning. I think it's 1 or 2 a.m. But all the times will be posted by now on steelwars.com for your local area. If you just click on the link and it will come up with your local time, which is rather convenient. So make sure you are around for that if you're available. We always love new callers. And also this week, the classic interview episodes return, and we've got a banger with Neum Nam himself, Mike Quinn. Just wrapped up the interview. Super excited to get it out to you. So stay tuned for that one. And of course, if you want to support the show in a non-financial way, get on iTunes, write one of those sweet five-star reviews, or give us a retweet or share on Twitter or Facebook, or you can regram us on Instagram. You can swipe left or right on Tinder for us if we had a Tinder account. I'm not sure which way is the right way because I'm a married man. How did we end up here in the post-episode sizzle? I don't know, but I hope you enjoyed the show. Check out the Patreon. There's a bunch of different levels, but you know, $3 a month will get you all the bonus content. Really appreciate it, and may that force be with you. Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Also, for more Star Wars podcasting, check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network at makingstarwars.net.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.